Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, what is the key to unlocking human potential? I think that's what we do. Entrepreneurs. We try to find solutions to problems, whether they be in our life, in our business, and things that are not our business, like our friends. Something we can't help ourselves. We're curious people. We have to get involved with things we probably shouldn't. And even in our businesses, we're like, hey, could we do that better, faster, more efficient? They say curiosity killed the cat, but I say, you know, and I've heard it said before that curiosity also got rid of stupidity. Because, if we don't ask questions, we'll never know the answer. And we'll also never know if it was possible. So our guest right now is Dr. Diane Hamilton. She has written a brand new book, Cracking the Curiosity Code. And this is her fourth book. Dr. Hamilton is a nationally syndicated radio host, speaker, moderator, consultant, and educator. She has a PhD in business, taught more than 1,000 business courses, and is an expert on curiosity, emotional intelligence, engagement, and other behavioral and cultural-based issues that actually impact our workplace and our lives. Welcome to the show, Dr. Diane Hamilton. What should I call you? Doc, Diane, Hamilton, what is it? Where do I go?
You know, I'll answer to just about anything, okay. Alan. You can call me Diane, though. Thanks for having me
here. Awesome. All right. Well, first of all, I just got the book, and I'm reading through it as fast as I can. Couldn't get through the whole thing. But I'm looking at the foreword by a dear friend, Keith Kroc, who I love. I love everything about this dude. He was the CEO and chairman of DocuSign. Everyone knows DocuSign. And has just retired from that. But more importantly, it is the man himself, the heart that beats in that man's chest. And so when I had him as a guest on my show, guess what happened? I became curious. Of like, what more can I learn from this man? I think he needs to be my mentor. I love the way this guy does stuff. So curiosity actually led me down a road with the guy who wrote your book or forward to your book, right?
Right.
And then I look and I go, well, wait a minute. Steve Forbes and all these other people had something amazing to say. And so this is your fourth book. This is like, you have put a lot of work into this book. Maybe you could give the world a little bit about, you know, what is this book about?
I agree with everything you said about Keith. First of all, he is an amazing guy. I am so honored that he agreed to write the foreword, and he added so much by doing that. And he's one of the most curious people ever, and so he was a natural choice. And it was an interesting book because when I started writing it, it was just going to be a book. It was not going to be, you know, all the other things that it ended up being, which is a companion to a Curiosity Code Index, training, all kinds of information that I've done in addition to the book. But what I wanted to do was I didn't want to write a book that was just about curiosity, even though it has a lot of background in it. But I wanted to showcase of people like Keith Kroc and others who've been on my show who are really highly curious. So there's stories about people who have been on the show, and everyone from Steve Forbes to Ken Fisher and on. The list goes on and on. But I also wanted to find out what keeps people from being curious, because I think, you know, you can take a lot of assessments out there that'll tell you if you're curious or not, but they don't tell you what's keeping you from being curious and how to improve. And that's what I wanted to do. And so that's the biggest focus of the book in the assessment and what I was trying to accomplish with this.
What is so important about being curious? Give me 1 minute on that.
Well, you know, curiosity is the spark that leads to drive and motivation. And if you have that, then you can work on the things. If you ask leaders, their top issues are going to be things like engagement, innovation, productivity, all that. You have to spark the desire to the motivation to do things. And there's so much money being lost on engagement and innovation, interpersonal skills, critical thinking, the list goes on and on. And if you can improve curiosity, you can improve in all those areas.
Mm. Well, I feel good that you're on the show today, little James Brown. I'm curious, can curiosity be acquired and mastered? We're going to find that out with Dr. Diane Hamilton. The new book, Cracking the Curiosity Code. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, pick up Entrepreneur Magazine at newsstands everywhere. And check out our website, entrepreneur.com. You can find more of our radio show that is then converted into a podcast, and you can hear more people like our guest right now, Dr. Diane Hamilton, Cracking the Curiosity Code. And I said I was curious if curiosity can be acquired and then mastered. And I want people to understand what is really the importance of amplifying this message. I think because as a naturally curious person, it has taken me so far, Diane. It has taken me so far. So when I even saw the name of your book, I was like, I like it already. Anyway, can it be acquired? And then how do we master it? What are we mastering?
Well, we're mastering trying to overcome some of the factors that hold us back is what the problem is. We all come into this world highly curious, right? And I think that a lot of us have environmental influences and other things that kind of change for us as we grow older. So I found that four things really help improve curiosity. If you can overcome fear, assumptions, technology, and environmental influences. So the acronym for that was FATE that I found were the four factors that really impact curiosity. And a lot of people assume fear is going to be a big one, right? If you can overcome some of the fear issues of not wanting to look stupid, not asking the wrong question, you know, that type of thing. But there's assumptions as well. I mean, you have this little voice in your head that tells you, well, I'm not going to be interested in that, or that's going to be silly, or that's going to take too much time, or whatever it is you tell yourself. So these are the kinds of things that we work on when we're training people with this. And yes, so you can observe and ask questions and do all these things to improve, but I think a lot of it is recognizing that maybe you're relying too much on technology and you're not finding the foundational things that make technology work, or your environment has influenced you from your parents or your teachers or even your past boss or current boss. So the whole point of the training is to really make you aware of the dialogue you need to have to even move forward. So that's where you need to focus to improve.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at chapter one, survival, the mother of all curiosity. Why is survival the mother of all curiosity?
Well, you need... you know, some of the titles are kind of fun how we change things around. And, you know, and one of the reasons I like that is when you hear Dion Graham read it on my audiobook. I don't know if you know Dion Graham, but he is like the audiobook king of all kings. But he's also the voice of The First 48 on television, and he was on The Wire. And but when he says that, it's just so great. But, you need curiosity to survive. I mean, that's why we have it. It's an instinct, you know, if you're a bird and you only take the berries off of one branch of one tree, you're not going to find maybe a better food source somewhere else, for example.
Right.
So you need that curiosity. It's an instinctual thing for survival.
Very interesting. I mean, I like all the names of your different chapters. I'll go through some of them. But let me ask you just a little bit about your background. Give me a minute on your background, your education.
Well, I have a kind of an unusual background, but I have a PhD in business management. I've taught, as you said, more than 1,000 business courses, so I have a lot of education-based research background. But I was in sales for 30 years. I've been in all kinds of different industries, from pharmaceuticals to lending, real estate, you name it. I sold it, software. And so I think one of the good things is the more you've done, the more you can talk about, the more you can... It makes it really interesting for my radio show, because you know what it's like. You get so many different people, and the more things you know about, the more interesting it can be to talk to people about different aspects of business. And I think my background led me to explore curiosity, because I've just done a lot of things, and it started to rub off on me that I guess when I was interviewing a lot of the leaders on my show who were really successful, a lot of billionaires like Keith Kroc and, you know, Ken Fisher and others who've been on my show or I've interviewed, they just were so curious. And I thought, well, how can I instill that in my students? Because I still teach at different universities still. And because I see a lot of students who really just don't have that same background. And so that's kind of all of the things I've done, that's kind of my background that led me to where I am now, because I want to help spread the word about making people more curious, because I think there's so many people that have just done amazing things because of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, you can find out more about Dr. Diane Hamilton at exactly that, drdianehamilton.com. One in on Diane. I'm sure it'll pop up either way. Also, more about the Curiosity Code, cracking the Curiosity Code, at curiositycode.com. And in our next segment, I want to talk about this index you're talking about and how people can actually get involved and do more and be more curious. Why not? Is it on newsstands yet, Diane?
Everything's out. It's there.
All right.
Yes.
Cracking the Curiosity Code, the key to unlocking human potential. Dr. Diane Hamilton, PhD. She's going to be back with us. And we're going to learn more from her. I'm still curious. We'll be right back. Think you need a devil to help me get things right.
Hook me up a new revolution. Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. To Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Dr. Diane Hamilton, our guest. Her book, Cracking the Curiosity Code, the key to unlocking human potential. The cost of learning is significantly less than the cost of ignorance. I like that one. Vern Harnish, founder of Entrepreneurs Organization, EO. A lot of you entrepreneurs know about that. Curiosity is the fundamental talent which will continue to differentiate those who lead in their field, industry, and life. Diane has created a groundbreaking book and assessment that we're going to talk about that now to help people overcome things that hold them back from being curious. Just as understanding the importance of emotional intelligence has led to success, developing curiosity could foreseeably be the next movement to enhance human performance. Vern Harnish. Very interesting. And, you know, I didn't hear people talking too much about emotional intelligence until about 5 years ago. And I was like, yes, IQ and EQ. You know, it's like, I get it. I always had a low IQ. But when I talked to an expert on it, he goes, you know what? He goes, you may have a low IQ, but you've got a very high EQ. And I was like, because I give a damn. I care. I truly care about people. And I understand. I want to understand. I have this more emotional intelligence side of myself that I have truly loved. I love that about myself, that I truly love people and I want to understand. And I'm curious, Diane.
Well, I think it's interesting that you see the value of emotional intelligence, because it's really what I wrote my dissertation on years ago. And it led to my interest in all of this, because it just made me question, well, what can we do to improve all of these things that are human performance related? And that's why Vern's statement was so important. And, you know, it's such a tough topic, because everybody knows that you need to develop emotional intelligence, and everybody will tell you that curiosity is an important thing. But a lot of these things are really challenging when you go to actually create assessments and try to measure them and try to develop them. And that's what I found so fascinating about all this. And that's why I headed in this direction.
So let's talk about this, we'll call it the index. And why is it, you know, so important to understand training and assessing people in this Curiosity Code index?
Because I think that you really need to have a baseline measurement when you're trying to improve something, right? Okay. If you don't know you have a problem, you don't know you need to fix the problem, you don't know where to go with it. And everybody that has a different level of curiosity, just like they do with emotional intelligence, you don't have a zero level of EQ. You're going to have a certain, you know, range. And it's the same thing with your curiosity quotient. You're going to have different levels based on the different factors that impact it. But I really wanted to get this out there for the leadership consultants, HR professionals to become certified to give it. So it's not that they are the only place that you can get this. You can actually take the assessment online. If you wanted to take it right now, you could go to curiositycode.com, take the assessment, get your results, just like you would a DISC, an emotional intelligence test, those types of things. You print it out, you're good to go. But I also think it's really important for the leadership consultants and HR professionals to get certified to give it, because I give a lot of training in the certification process to help people, help organizations to improve in their level of curiosity. And part of the training is not just the individual improvements that they can help everybody with, but there's also reports and things they can generate to give back to leaders to help them with the overall corporate culture to make it more curious. Mm-hmm. So it's a two-part training that goes along with it. So you can take the assessment, or you can also take it at work, and I'm hoping that the organizations will all incorporate this the way they did emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. I've found that when I'm around a lot of successful leadership, there's two camps. There's the arrogant and the prideful. And on one side, you know, I did this, and I, you know. And then there's the ones that said, we did this. And I look at those two, and I naturally lean into the we, the person that has the humility to know that, you know, kind of myself, I can do nothing. I need my team, my tribe, I guess. You know,
right.
I think this is going to be important. I think this will be the next big thing. So I can't wait to finish reading this book. I'm like, no, it's not fair. I want to read the whole thing before I do the interview. But that rarely ever happens. I have to interview so many people, but this one is really fun for me. So let me ask you in our final, say, minute or so, what do you think is missing in leadership today? And I obviously, because I'm curious, right?
What do I think is missing? Boy, that's a loaded, open-ended question.
I know.
It could be so many things. It could be so many things. But to me, if you ask any of the top leaders what it is that made them so successful, the key ingredients that wasn't missing for them was curiosity. So I think what's missing is, you know, a lot of people do that. What you're saying, it's more about I, it's less about we, and it should be more about we. And to make the we better is to be open to the suggestions and the questions and all the things that people ask and want to know and want to provide that we aren't asking. And that's why I think curiosity is the thing that we need to develop.
I know, that is the
missing element.
I know. That was loaded.
You knew that was coming.
You knew. I was a softball pitch to you.
Thank you.
DrDianeHamilton.com. Curious? Then go to curiositycode.com. Take the assessment. I cannot wait to finish reading it. I may have to have you back on and have a whole other hour on this topic, because it's just so, so awesome. This, to me, is the foundation of success. Thank you so much, Diane.
Thank you.
We'll take a little break and come back with more of Entrepreneur Weekly. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Sick of bookkeeping? Need more time to focus on your business? Bench gives you a team of bookkeepers who do your books every month in simple software to track your finances and plan for the future. On average, entrepreneurs who use Bench save over 8 hours each month without the added stress of DIY bookkeeping or piles of paperwork. Get an instant snapshot of your business's financial health with the help of key visual reports and 24/7 support from Bench's professional bookkeeping team. Don't just take our word for it. Start a trial today and get 1 month of bookkeeping done for free. Sign up at bench.co/entrepreneur and receive an additional 20% off your first 6 months of bookkeeping. Bench, bookkeeping done for you.
You know, I'm a big Billy Gibbons, ZZ Top fan, and actually, I'm on my way to Chicago. So evidently I'm not going to see Jesus there, because he just left Chicago. Joining us right now is Lil Roberts, and she's a co-founder of a company called Xndo. And that's spelled like this: X-E-N-D-O-O, and then put .com and you'll see what it is. She helps small businesses with fewer than 20 employees with their taxes and what have you. Am I right in saying that, Lil?
Spot on, Alan. Spot on. We also do the monthly bookkeeping, which is not very sexy, but hey, It's financial peace of mind for small business owners, and that is sexy.
You know what? I happen to be one of those Zindu people, meaning I have 20 or less employees. And somebody came the other day, and they're like, who do you use? Or what do you? Well, we use a service, and well, you should be using, you know, this app or that app. Or, you know, there's so many different ways of doing things. Maybe you can talk about what makes Zindu stand out and why. But before we get there, who in the world is Lil Roberts and what is your why? Because, you know, I that's got to ask this stuff.
I am a serial entrepreneur born in South Florida. And I just, you know, I love life and I love people. And my why is that I'm a builder. And I think it's really important for entrepreneurs to understand what makes them get up in the morning and what excites them and to follow that.
You were probably listening to Dr. Diane Hamilton and the, you know, the whole cracking the curiosity code. And in the commercial break, you said something about you're a ledge walker. And I need to kind of pull that out and say, what? What's that?
I love adventure. And so I have coined myself as a ledge walker, meaning I love all things exciting. And it says, you know, it means what it says. I'd like to be right on the edge, dangling on the ledge and trying new things, having fun and calculated risk, of course, right? Not looking to die anytime soon and not looking to go down bad business ventures. But you want to live life. Have some fun. Be a ledge walker. And, you know, with Dr. Diane, cracking the curiosity code, it makes me think back when I was a little girl. We were at a restaurant and the Yankees manager was a table over, ended up giving my family, there were seven of us, tickets to the game because he just thought I was so curious with all the questions I asked my dad. And I think in that, you know, that's what makes us human beings, right? Instead of a robot, right? It's
right.
Like, that's how you learn things.
Yeah. I think that's great. It's so funny. I went to the Yankees with, I think, a mutual friend of ours, Randy Garn. And when I first, I'm just not a big sports guy. I never have been. And I didn't give it a lot of thought. And he says, hey, you want to go to a Yankees game? I'm like, yeah. So we got to there and I go, oh, football? Baseball? And he goes, he looks at me and he goes, are you serious? And I go, oh, come on, man. I don't pay attention to sports and stuff. And I go, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Red Sox and the Yankees. All right. But it was so funny because, you know, sometimes I just don't care. I want to go with my friends. And they were going to a sporting event. And he has to know. So then we go into the general manager of the New York Yankees in the general manager's office, and they're like, Alan thought it was football. He was like, I'm like, all right, I'm an idiot. I can't help it. I don't pay attention to that. So I don't have time for that. I can't, you know, if I play baseball, give my team a name, I don't care. I just want to go play baseball. You know what I mean? But anyway, some people are, you know, they're just, I'm one of those guys. I was another time I was with, it was a rock star guy from ZZ Top, right? Billy Gibbons. And he picks up one of his friends, and his friends, you know, we're sitting there talking. I go, so, Jimmy, what do you do? And he goes, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, no. I said, I don't. He goes, you ever heard of Led Zeppelin? I go, yeah. I go, he goes, well, it's my band. And I go, let's see, what's your name, Jimmy Page? And I go, yeah. I go, my friends are going to laugh at me. I still didn't know who he was. I mean, I knew the band, you know. But so I called my buddy. I go, hey, I go, who's Jimmy Page? He goes, what do you mean? I go, well, I'm having dinner with him. I had to ask him what he did. And he goes, you're such an idiot. Anyway, like, I'm George Costanza, I'm telling you.
Yeah, oh, my God. So, Alan, you know, with you being entrepreneurs and everything's about entrepreneurs, you find sporting to be a strategy. Isn't it so much like business? Don't you
know,
find sports when you start to watch them?
Yeah. No, it is. But to me, it's, you know, it's a game. I get all the strategy. I get all that. I love it. But to me, there was a game when I was growing up called Stratego, and it was a strategy game. And my brother really loved playing it, so he always used to come to me and say, hey, you want to play Stratego? And I'm like, yeah. And he was really into it. And me, I was like, I'm more like the guy that I dance through life, and so much of my life, I just kept this good attitude. I just love life. I love people. I love doing business. I want to be honest and honorable. I want to work hard. And now at this crazy age of my life, you know, in the last 5 years, let's just say I'm a baby boomer. In the last 5 years, I really started to look at more strategy and putting, you know, kind of higher thinking into effect instead of just, you know, dancing my way through life, because I, so much of my life, I was so lucky until I wasn't. And then I started to pay attention. So now, you know, we'll come back to you with Zindu and your company. You're helping small companies like mine. Guess what? I go to my house the other day and I get a business card from the employment board, and they want to audit my books. And I call the guy and I go, hey, didn't we do this like 10 years ago? He says, yeah, you kind of just came up, you know, at random. And he goes, I'm going to be retiring in a couple of years. And I thought it'd be nice to see Alan and how he's doing. The last time I got audited, it was like I actually had fun. The guy was nice. He was teaching me how things I should do and things I shouldn't do. Honestly, I have lived a blessed life, and I thank God for it every day. But you know what? You're going to help me and a lot of other people here on the other side of the break with your company, Zindu. And that's XENDOO.com. SMBs with fewer than 20 employees. Lil can help. Don't go anywhere. We're having some fun here. We'll be right back,
Thanks,
Will.
Thanks, Alan. Right. You know, how fortunate to get a nice auditor, right?
Exactly.
Not everyone gets that.
So. Let me tell you, that is rare. We'll be right back. My eyes, when it's under the butts of a trusted friend, and is you humor me and tell me love. I'm Alan Taylor. And we're talking to and about being an entrepreneur. If you're an entrepreneur, welcome aboard. If you're a wantrepreneur, come on in. The water's warm. We have folks like Lil Roberts and all the folks we talk to on this show. They will give you tips, tricks, good advice. We'll tell stories. At least I will. I have a bad habit of telling all my crazy stories. I am definitely George Costanza in this world of business, just so you know. I've done everything wrong and backwards and accidentally, you know, been a little bit successful. Lil Roberts is joining us, and Zindu.com. It's XENDOO.com. Help small businesses with 20 or fewer employees with their taxes and what have you. And here's some tips and tricks from Lil. Go for it, Lil.
So let's chat about best tips for entrepreneurs. So, you know, the first one I would say is pick the right industry and have a plan that makes sense. You know, how many people end up in a business unintentionally and years pass by and they wish they would have picked a different vehicle that would have either given them a better quality of life or more money? So tip number one, pick the right industry and have a plan that makes sense.
Yeah.
With that, I'd like to lead into there are no good deals with bad people. And most entrepreneurs will tell you that if they've had more than one or two businesses, they have run into that in their lifetime. So if something looks phenomenal, make sure that the people you're in it with are good people, because that won't change. In fact, it'll get worse the more money you make.
That's true.
Right? Through that. Through that.
Yep.
And most new businesses fail due to lack of cash flow. That's where we can help you. And one of the things that we share is find the best talent on everything you don't like to do or aren't the best at. And if you bring the right strong people in that area, you're going to do well. So that means hire slow and fire fast, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And then learn from your mistakes. You know, course correct and pivot quickly. Don't wallow. No, wow, wow, wow. Don't wallow in your failure. Rather, harness it to make you stronger and wiser.
Yeah. Let me ask you. I notice you focus on companies that have fewer than 20 employees. And my guess is because you know that these small companies, SMBs, smaller companies, are in that stage where they can use good advice. They could use a coach and some help. They could, you know, they can use every book they can get to read and learn some of the hacks of life. We talk about hacks on this show all the time.
Love it.
Do you have any hacks when it comes to, you know, finding opportunities in disruption? It's like a lot of people are like, what do they mean disruption? What do they mean? I don't even know what disruption. I don't even know. I mean, we know what disruption is, but how do you tell people, how do you explain how to put that term into business, into their business? Like when you go to them, hey, Barney, you know, I know you got a salad bar, you know, restaurant, and but let's disrupt this marketplace by doing. I mean, how do you go about that?
Well, great question. Alan, I've lived on both sides of the table. I was in print manufacturing, and boy, did that get disrupted. And, you know, the thing about when you're on the wrong side of the table is it feels like disruption happens overnight. but it doesn't happen overnight. It happens around you, but you're so busy in your business that you don't even see it happening, right?
Right.
And so number one, get outside of your business. You know, another tip is find a mentor or join a peer group like EO or YPO or CEO Roundtable, but get outside of only talking to your customers and in your business so you can see what's happening on the outside. So that's a way to not get disrupted, or at least to see if disruption's on the horizon in your industry, that you can monetize your business and get out.
Right,
and
Let me ask though. We're talking about here is you got to know when your world is being disrupted by, for example, you just gave the print world, magazines and what have you, and even the print shops that their clients are magazines and print, because the digital world disrupted the print world. Okay, so that's one. Then are you the disruptor, or can you disrupt something? Can you take something that you're doing and go, man, we are going to really change the world because of this new technology or something with AI or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there's two sides of that coin. Are you the disrupted or the disruptor? You know what I mean?
Well, I was the disrupted, and it sucked.
Yeah.
Now we're the disruptor. So now we're part of the party of being the disruptors in the accounting space. You know, and don't leave the shoreline saying, okay, how do I go disrupt the business? Because it's not so easy, and it's a long haul. Right. So you don't have to be a disruptor to have a great business and to enjoy life. You know, you could go have an Amazon business and go buy four or five Amazon businesses and do Amazon arbitrage and roll them up and get a higher multiple. You're not disrupting that industry, but you're having, you know, you're an entrepreneur.
Right,
if you want to be a disruptor, like Apple disrupted music, right? Amazon disrupted many things. So, and then there's a lot of small disruptors. So who we are, we're going to be part of the party that's changing and reshaping accounting for SMBs, for small business owners.
Right.
So I knew when I left being disrupted, and it wasn't fun because, you know, you're just running as fast as you can to re-engineer yourself to just stay afloat. And fortunately for me, I was able to exit. But I said when I was sitting on the shoreline, I said, you know, I'm leaving the shoreline, and where am I going? I had a personal scorecard. I wanted to be in technology. I wanted to help small business owners. I wanted to grow a business that was going to have at least $100 million in value.
Woo-hoo!
I wanted partners. I wanted investors, right? And, I mean, that may all sound great, but it's freaking hard work. But, you got to be a ledge walker.
I was going to say, you got to be a ledge. You got to be adventurous. You got to be a ledge walker like Lil Roberts. I almost called you Lee Roberts. Lil, do me a favor. Hang tight. I want to take one more break. When we come back, I want you to give, you know, some advice to those 20 or fewer employers, 20 who have 20 employees or less, because there's a lot of us out there. We are a lot out there because God knows we need it. All right, hang tight. Lil Roberts is going to be right back with us here. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't go anywhere. Hopefully your life in business is a little piece of heaven. Often it can be a piece of hell, and that boils down to how much research, thought, love, and, you know, forethought you've put into your life and business. And if you find yourself right in the middle of a little slice of hell, you know what they say when you're going through hell? Keep going! Don't stop right in the middle of hell. Lil Roberts is on with us, Zendu.com. SMBs fewer than 20 employees, she can help you, and she's got some advice. Now we're gonna end our show today with some great pieces of advice from Lil. Lil, thanks for being with us, and say hi to Randy when you see him, our friend Randy Garn. And you know what it is, without our friends and our mentors in life, we would not be able to go nearly as far as we do. And so hopefully this advice will reach somebody and touch them in a very, very positive way. So the floor is yours.
Thank you, Alan. And I've loved my time with you. I'm going to thank Randy when I see him. And it's just been great to be with you.
Thanks.
We're in the non-sexy business of bookkeeping and accounting. And so I'm going to give a couple pieces of tips around that, but more so just in the world of entrepreneurship. So
okay.
One tip that I'd say is patience pays, 3 minutes to passing zone. So when things seem really bad, just hang on, just have some patience, and the plan will come together. You know, work on your business, not in your business. What do I mean by that? Eliminate your worries, eliminate the things that takes time that you shouldn't be doing, and focus on building your business. You know, that's an area where we can help you. Be prepared and be ready for success in everything. You know, as it applies to us, if you have your numbers with you every month, you do your profit and loss and balance sheet, you're ready for a loan. You're ready for somebody to come buy your business. You know, you're ready that if you want to go buy a house or you want to get divorced. You know, you got to have your numbers to do those kinds of things.
Whatever it is, soup to going nuts, right?
You'd be surprised how many people come to us, and they come to us, and they're so far behind in their bookkeeping and taxes, and we help them, and they say, I need to get divorced, and I can't without my books. There's states that won't let you divorce if your taxes aren't up to date, and you can't buy a house if you don't have it.
Right.
And then, you know, the last tip I'll give you is, there's something called the power of three that a really good friend of mine taught me. And the power of three, as it applies to businesses, is that reduce your costs 3%, increase your prices 3%. The difference to your profitability is exponential. If you sell time, trim how many hours your staff takes by 3% and increase what you charge by 3%. 3% is negligible. If somebody is buying a $30 product, less than a buck.
Yeah.
They're not going to notice, and they're not going to leave you. Too many people are afraid to do that. You got to be profitable. You're in business to be profitable. We love to help you. We love entrepreneurs in general, and we love everyone building their businesses. Well, and Alan, you've been amazing. I've had a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. The website is Zendoo.com. That's Xendoo.com. Give me 30 seconds on this name, Zendoo. What's going on there? What's that?
We wanted a name that was fun, something that, you know, when you say it, you feel good, right? So it's action and peace. It's peaceful action, Zendoo.
Right.
And you're curious, so you look us up. And we're a technology disruptor that happens to be in accounting. We're a tech company first, and Zendoo is a tech name.
That's too funny. Well, you know what? I heard what you said there, and the tips were good. And when you said, you know, be patient, I think a lot of times, you know, that we have this angst inside of us. There's a certain impatience inside of us. And I think that as much as you said it right there, Zen, you know, you need to find your Zen spot, your quiet spot, your place, whether it's, for me, it's driving my car. Sometimes I just go take a drive. I've talked to CEOs. It's like, I go fly my airplane. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of work. He says, yeah, exactly. I cannot think about anything other than flying that airplane. He goes, so I've got to get my mind out of what I was doing. You have to find your space where your mind is not consumed by your business, because it is all consuming all the time. And if you don't learn how to find a way away from it, it will turn into a like post-traumatic stress and it will just eat you alive. So good advice, Lil Roberts, Zendoo.com. I'm here every week. You know, you said something about, you know, your threes. I can't remember what it was now. What was it? Three. Give me that one.
Power of three.
Power of three.
Power of three. Power of three. Eliminate, you know, increase something by 3% and eliminate the opposite by 3%, and the result is exponential.
All right.
It's not 3 plus 3. It's very powerful.
I like it. Also, mine is me and you, 1 and 1 makes 11. I love that, because at the end of the day, we're affecting all those people out there. All right. Thank you. I'm Alan Taylor. Go out there and make it a great day.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.